Now, the ranch, when you finally did get access to the ranch, did you see enough? Did you investigate yourself enough to become a believer that what, you know, these stories that we were hearing were indeed happening?
Very much so, in part because of the credibility of Bob Bigelow and the people that work with NIDS. I mean, these are serious guys. They weren't out looking for attention. They were trying to investigate this stuff. And then, you know, going up there and interviewing witnesses, talking to neighbors, people who live in the area, researching the history of it. You know, people wonder if this is a government psychological warfare campaign or something like that. This stuff has been going on in that region before there was a U.S. government. Father Escalante, who had his sightings and wrote about them in his journal, that was back in 1776. Native American traditions say it's been going on a lot longer than that. So, you know, it's not a government operation. It's there. It's real. I've interviewed enough people to be convinced of that, plus the evidence collected by the folks at NIDS over a seven-year intensive study. I mean, that area is the most intensely studied paranormal hotspot in history.
Any guesses? If you had to guess, and I am asking you to guess, what do you think is going on there?
It's, you know, and this is purely a guess. We tried to rule out more things than as opposed to coming to a conclusion because there's not enough evidence to demonstrate something conclusively. But it seems dimensional. It seems like this is a portal of some sort. The rancher, Tom Gorman, recalled seeing what looked like a sun in the sky through which objects would enter and leave. And on the other side of this this big orange ball sun-like object, he could see another sky. It suggests that maybe there are other worlds out there, parallel universe, alternate dimensions. I'm not smart enough to be able to figure that stuff out. But as we mentioned in the book, it's sort of consistent with some of the research on the cutting edge of physics and cosmology right now, the concept of the multiverse.
That's right.
It fits, you know, it fits. There's a physicist named Dr. Jack Sarfati, who's a regular listener of this program, who read the book and a sort of light bulb went off. It sort of fits with where modern science is heading about the nature of our reality. And it seems like what's going on at the ranch is kind of a learning curve, that they're giving us a little bit of rope and dragging us along a bit at a time so that we somehow understand that the reality isn't what it used to be, that the world is a much bigger, more mysterious, and more complex place than we ever imagined.
You carried cameras up there. Did you ever catch anything that you could air?
No. Well, we've got stuff that we can air, but if you're asking me, do I ever catch anything anomalous on camera?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
I do have some of the stuff from NIDS archives, the mutilation incidents and tracks and things of that sort. We interviewed a lot of witnesses up there. We interviewed NID staffers, collected a great deal of material for this documentary that one of these days I'll get finished. But nothing like a flying saucer, no. My buddy Colum, one of the first trips I made up there, my pal Colum, he decides that I have this inherent weirdness quotient and that maybe I might make something happen. So he takes me out in the middle homestead where a lot of this strange stuff had happened, where that tunnel of light had appeared, where animals had been butchered and others disappeared, where a predator type object had materialized and scared the bejesus out of everyone. It's the middle of the night, and he puts me on a chair there and leaves me to see if something comes to get me. Now, before this, yeah, my pal, right? Before this, we had done some things that in the past had riled this entity up. We got a big earth mover and dug around a lot of dirt. That seems to get its attention. We built a big fire, made a bunch of noise, tried to get its attention, and then plopped me out on a chair for a while in the middle of nowhere and left me. So I'd like to tell you that I was brave and I wasn't concerned at all, but I was. I mean, it was a scary thing. The only thing
you were like chum in the water.
Yeah. The only thing that came to get me were mosquitoes, though, so I'm happy to report.
Okay, back to Mr. Bigelow for a moment. He is, he's quite a guy. And Ross, you know, I get these little messages. I do the program here. Ross in West Palm Beach, Florida, said, Art, I'm looking at Mr. Bigelow's website right now. And honestly, Mr. Bigelow reminds me of S.R. Haddon, the billionaire in the movie, your favorite movie, mine, Contact. And I've been saying that for years. He really does remind me of H.R. Haddon. How about you?
Yeah, that fits. That fits. I got a tour of his facility out there right from the first day that it's been it was built. You know, and I've been there many times. And he invited us to be there on the morning of the launch. And Bob Bigelow had never done a TV interview before. I know he's spoken to you many times, and we got him to go on camera, and he was good at it. And now we are negotiating to get him on camera to talk about the ranch. And when I can get that nailed down, that'll be a coup.
Oh, it certainly will be, and quite a story. My God, what a story that'll be! And,
well, it's everything. It's a paranormal Disneyland. You know, it's the UFO stuff of everything from Winnebago-sized UFOs to flying sombreros to the balls of light that Colum talked about. It's mm-hmm. poltergeist type stuff. It's a laundry list of strange things, and it's a heck of a story for a newsman.